This is Sports Today on 882-6PR, the voice of Perth.
BSLions.com.au with Brad and Carl Knight. Back to your calls and SMSs shortly. Well, Borry, due to you calling the cricket yesterday, you had a shortened version of Sports Today last night. And today I heard a man on radio who had a coverage of the Essendon saga well and truly covered. His name is Brian Walden. He's the former CEO of the St Kilda and the Melbourne Storm. G'day, Waldy.
Brad, how are you?
Going extremely well.
Yeah, not too bad. It's been an interesting 24, 48 hours, 1,052 days, I think you'd call it. So come to a conclusion and everyone can move on. But it's been interesting reading to read the report and what you take out of it. It certainly is enlightening.
Well, as succinct as you can, tell us exactly what you read on that report and put it in perspective for our listeners.
Well, I think it was important that the burden of proof changed once it went to the sport of arbitration. And they decided that they just needed to be comfortably satisfied, which was really nothing more than greater than mere probability. They just needed to be sure in their own mind, not definite, but sure that probably they'd taken the drugs. And at the end of the day, when you went through all the key things and the chain of event and the fact that the players themselves had not come forth and been honest when given the opportunity to declare on their doping forms that they had been taking any substance, I don't think it was in any doubt that they were going to be found guilty. There was too many loose ends for them to not really be able to have a case that was going to be anything but overturned in Switzerland a couple of days ago.
On 30 separate occasions that particular year, ASADA came in, did their testing. Now, when they fill out the disclosure sheet, what did they leave off?
They left off the fact that they'd taken a drug of any sort, they'd been injecting any drugs at all. Now, one of the key things here is that thymosin is a drug, and there's also thymosin TB4. Even though thymosin's in both of the terms, there's a clear distinction. Thymosin itself is a drug you take if you have low immunity. Your system is breaking down, and you need to build up your resistance, your immune system. Thymosin TB4 is a regeneration drug for muscle, which is really a muscle-building drug. There's a clear distinction. There's an absolute clear distinction about what the two of them do. So one is for bulk building and to increase recovery. The other one is to make you feel better when you're down and out. Now, when we read the report that came out, guys, it was clear to us that the players were taking this drug. Never once did they go to Doc Reed and say, listen, what are we taking here? Never once did any of them supposedly Google what thymosin was. They all said it was like putting a needle into a brick in their backsides and their stomach when they were doing it, but none of them seemed to have the wherewithal supposedly to actually ask, why are we doing this? Because had they asked, it would have been clear that what they were supposedly being given was a drug to help them and their immune system.
What reason did they give for not documenting it?
Well, it was varied from player to player to player. Clearly, they only interviewed six people. David Hill came out and said he didn't think it was important. He just sort of left it off. Delilio came out and said that, well, they decided not to do it because they didn't want other clubs to know what was going on. And I think really the veil of secrecy here is what has been exposed more than anything. That has probably dampened the mood of the public in support of the players. I think clearly they have left themselves open for people to ask the question, Carl, as to whether or not there was some understanding of what they were actually taking.
Well, Brian, I go back some 4 years to leaked text messages to Job Watson admitting on television what the substance was. That may have not been from the initial start, but there's been transcripts along the way that have been leaked out to us to say, well, hang on a minute, don't you go and ask questions. I mean, as a player, and particularly in the professional world these days, and knowing exactly what you are putting into your body is crucial to whether you actually survive or you don't. I mean, we don't have to talk about Saad and Crowley and a couple of others who have innocently taken different things and been penalised for a couple of years. I just can't believe that nobody asked these sorts of questions going back right from the start.
It does beg the question as to why that took place. Even a bigger one, Carl, is this, that when they signed the forms of consent, supposedly, all they had to do was also get a letter back from the club, the doctor, whoever it was, and said, we are telling you as a playing group, as an individual, 100% that what you are being given is WADA compliant. Had they done that, they would not have faced any prosecution at all. Not one player for whatever reason, boys, ask for that letter. That is something that leaves people asking the question, why not?
Now,
that's very difficult to answer.
And, Brian, the other thing is, how come there's no records? Why do some blokes know when they were given their particular treatment and the bloke who was giving the treatment couldn't remember or forgot to tick the box?
Yeah, look, and I think the fact that when it came to the AFL version, it was more about reasonable doubt. This was less about reasonable doubt because all they needed to be was comfortably satisfied. And when they put the chain of analysis together, I'm talking about the boys in Switzerland, they started with the fact that Dank had a history of using Thymosin TB4 with a player called Sandor Earl in the rugby league. So he had a history of doing it, and that player got suspended for a long period and admitted that he had received it. Then they put the text messages together that spoke about the soft tissue recovery. And even though Dank tried to say Thymosin was what they used, Thymosin gave no benefit to soft tissue, whereas Thymosin TB4 did. Then they looked at how the chain took place of how supposedly the drug may have occurred at Essendon. So we started with Shane Charter, and we had a doctor say Shane Charter had asked for the product. The product was produced in China. It went from China that Shane Charter organised as a compound chemist, Alavi, at Como here in Melbourne. It went from Como and was delivered to Dank. It was then paid for by Essendon Football Club, paid $60,000 to Como. So Thymosin TB4 was what Charter was said to have asked for, landed at Essendon Football Club according to what these documents said. And we're asked to believe they weren't used. If they weren't used, where did they go, guys? So then when you put the chain together, it's clear to see why they were found guilty.
The other damning thing was that there was an interview conducted by a Fairfax journo with Dank, and he might have tripped up.
Well, Nick McKenzie, who's one of the best around, did have an interview with Stephen Dank and did say to Stephen Dank that asked him what he was putting in because he was seen to be this great guru. And Stephen Dank said to him that he put in Thymosin TB4. And Nick said to him at the time, he said, you know, that's illegal. And Stephen said, no, it's not. This is according to what the transcript says. And he said, yeah, it is. And he showed him on his computer what it was. And Stephen rang the next day and said, look, I actually haven't been given him Thymosin TB4. I've just been given him Thymosin. So there was just too many issues. And look, who knows? I mean, I feel very sorry for people that have been caught up in this inadvertently. We don't know who they are. The other big issue that we've got to remember here, boys, is there's a great saying that a guy from Yale University, Glenn White, who was a well-known writer, said one day that there's a statement that a saying that he came up with called an escalating commitment to a losing course of action, which basically says you know your stuff, but you keep going down a path, hoping that it just disappears. The Essendon Football Club, James Hird, Paul Little and all these other people that were there at the time, chose to go down this path that sadly has caused enormous problems, not just then, but now, because when it came to an opportunity for them to get any leniency at all, the guys on the committee said, no, you have snowballed and steamrolled this process for 4 years now. How can you ask for any leniency when you have been partaking in such activities? So I've always said ego and emotion, and I've been guilty of it. Ego and emotion kills people in sport. It certainly caused a massive problem with the Essendon Football Club in the last thousand days.
I've often wondered over the journey, has it been a ploy by Essendon to drag this out as long as they possibly can? Because they started with 34, they ended with 12 plus 5.
Yeah, it's a good question, isn't it? And look, I mean, we also see, I mean, I watched Lindsay Tanner yesterday, and I thought he was fantastic. I know what you blokes thought, but I thought he was fantastic
impressive for two reasons.
One, he looked quite, even though, you know, he said he was upset by it all, and they're always going to protect the players, I think there'd be some relief it's over from that point of view. I think that's really important. And the second thing is he apologised. And now, you know, people might ring up and say later on about you and I get this in Melbourne sometimes about Brian Walden, what he did. That's right. We did some things and I did some things that I'm not proud of, but I've always taken accountability and put my hand up and said we did the wrong thing. For the first time yesterday, I saw Lindsay Towner saying to the Essendon people, you know what, we're really sorry. And in doing that, he gave them a chance to move on, didn't he? They're not as bad off as people think. Their year's going to be wiped out, but they've got the benefit of the draft picks from last year when they traded Carlisle and Melksham. And they've got the benefits of this year's draft picks when they're going to be ordinary. Sure, some of their better players are going to miss 12 months of footy in Carl. You know better than anyone that's going to be hard. But they aren't as devastated as losing 3 years of draft picks that could have happened had this happened now. So it's going to be interesting to see where they're at. I think they certainly decided to try to slow the process down and they only had 12, but it's still a penalty. But it's not as dramatic as what people think, I don't reckon. It's more to me about the fact that these facts come out today, boys, and you go, interesting.
Brian, what right do aggrieved players have to sue, given the scenario you've put forward tonight?
Not as much right as we originally thought. Not as much right as we originally thought, I wouldn't have thought. Clearly, there's a young boy, I think, in the Melbourne courts at the moment who's a Hunter, who's suing. I would say down the chain there are a number of players who are probably asking questions. But, look, you've been young players in footy clubs. There are certain guys that just follow the lead, don't they?
Yeah.
And the culture is you do what you need to do to fit in, and you don't ask the questions because you trust people around you. But they are also taught very early on that they need to ask those questions, but that's sometimes harder than others. So we may see a fracture now. We might get a fracture now, and we might get a clearer understanding of who potentially had no idea and who possibly had some idea. Because if we go down the path of people suing, you can bet the insurance agencies will be wanting to see people put up in the box who will need to answer under oath questions of their knowledge of what took place. So it's going to be an interesting process what plays out, I reckon.
Two-part question. You've got to... We all feel empathy for all the players who are going to be missing this season, but the ones that are no longer in the system, you know, are playing with local footy and that are derive their income from...
Coaches.
From doing that, coaches, yeah. etc. They must be very, very aggrieved for sure because they miss out pretty much. And the other one, should they be being paid, given the fact that they've been suspended?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a St Kilda supporter, and I sit here and think, well, why the hell are we paying Jake Carlisle $600,000 for seeing who he's after this year?
Mm.
I mean, buy beware was a phrase that was used constantly about it. I don't think anyone really could have had any understanding that it was going to be this dramatic, unless you actually were someone like Dave Colbert, who said all along, once you go in front of the Court of Arbitration of Sport, you're basically doomed, because it doesn't go there unless they believe they've got a rock-solid case. Had St Kilda and all those others probably adhered to that thought process, maybe they would have been a little bit more cautious in what they did. I don't know, Carl, do you think they should be paid? I've got some problems with it, but I don't know where it fits in, because who's culpable? Are the players culpable, or who's arresting and culpable? I'm not too sure.
Well, Brian, James Hird shouldn't have been paid, but he was paid $1 million, and he went and did a business course in France while he had the time off. And
Ben Robinson got paid $1 million too, mate.
That's correct. So everyone's got off scot-free here, except for they've missed out on playing some footy, but they're still getting paid the full whack. I cannot for the life of me understand. Mate, if you're guilty, you are guilty, and you cop it. And if you don't like it, then you sue the organisation that gave it to you as an individual player so that you can, say, clear some of the debt that's been created by what was administered to you. That's the way I see it.
I'm struggling with it as well, and I'm struggling with it more today. I'm really struggling with it more today when I read some of the options that the players had, that the players didn't take up. Excuse my dog barking there. The players had an option to make it clear that they could have said to the football club, if they were unsure what was going on, you write me a letter that says, I am taking a product that isn't illegal. The players could have declared on their doping form that they were taking and being injected, whatever they supposedly were told they were getting, which was just thymosin. They didn't do any of that. The players have not been above board, is the best word I can use, in their dealings with ASADA on this whole matter. So one would say the veil of secrecy has to have some level of consequences, does it not? Like it did for others such as my club and me. I mean, there has to be some level of pain that they suffer, not just playing footy, I would have thought. And I don't know. It's a strange one.
Two quick ones.
Yep.
Is Simon Goodwin the luckiest man going round? And two, Joe Watson, does he lose that medal?
Well, there's no doubt he has to lose the medal. I mean, it's fairest and best, Brad.
Yep.
You know. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're suspended for whatever reason, or you have undertaken an activity that's deemed that you haven't acted in a fair manner, how can you possibly not win the medal? And I have to say, if I'm Sam Mitchell, I'd be standing up there getting it around my neck, because it's not his fault. It's not his fault that he's the next man standing with Trent Cotchin from that point of view. Simon Goodwin's been found under the report that came out to have taken a substance called hexarelin. I'm not sure there's anything illegal about wanting to get a suntan and make your testosterone levels go through the roof. I'm not sure about that. I don't know. It's not my cup of tea, boys. And, Carl, I'm sure it's not on both of you blokes. Look at that, Joe.
Well,
not your cup of tea to do it either.
Well, but it's similar to GHRP6, which is a growth, which is part of the growth family factor.
Is it illegal, though? Is it illegal,
hexarelin? It's not to a bloke.
Not to a bloke who's finished, no.
But just the fact that...
There was a great story that did the rounds when all this took place, and I don't mind saying that, because there's been a lot of stories, but the story that did the rounds, that was the biggest one, was that when all this took place, I reckon the Essendon boys were out training, and Simon Goodwin ran past Brent Stanton like he was standing still. And no one runs past Brent Stanton, so he might have been loaded up on something.
On the third,
I don't know what it was, but they reckon he took off.
On the third 3 kilometre time trial. Yeah, good on you. Hey, Brian, thanks very much. We could talk to you forever, mate, but we want to throw it open to our listeners. We really appreciate your time. Thanks for your time tonight.
Anytime, boys. Love having a chat.